Listen Up Audiobooks presents The Good Life Elsewhere, written by Vladimir Lortchenkov, narrated by Daniel Thomas May. 1. October 1993.
Here you are, Italy, our Italy.
Serafim Botezatu narrowed his eyes and blinked. But the city spreading out beneath him in the valleys between the hills didn't disappear. Buildings of white stone were just as blinding as the joy Serafim and his 45 fellow travelers, Moldovans all, were feeling. They were standing in a little grove on a hill beside the capital of capitals, Rome herself. And none of them could believe what was happening. Finally, they'd made it to Italy. Finally, life had become clear and simple, just like it used to be, like it was in their childhoods. They'd left behind Larga, their village in Moldova. They'd left behind the poverty, the Moldovan devastation, the repellent earth that, no matter which way you worked it, when you planted corn, you reaped just the husks. In front of them was Rome. Which meant in front of them was breezy construction work or some other menial labor. In comparison to toiling on the land, what wasn't a breeze? And for the women, there was work cleaning house for wealthy Italians to whom, with a bit of luck, they might even end up getting hitched. Serafim looked around at his fellow travelers. He was nearly guilty of the sin of pride. After all, it was thanks to him they'd been able to extract themselves from the swamp at the end of a small and dirty river where they'd been dumped by the runners who'd smuggled them into Italy.
"That's it. We go no further. It's too dangerous," said the driver,
a dark-haired youth with a painful resemblance to a gypsy, which didn't sit well with the Largans.
"But if you throw in an extra 10 euros a nose, I'll take you to the doorstep of the Roman buildings."
The Largans refused. Over the course of the 4 days they'd been en route, the driver had taken an extra 60 euros from each of them, on top of the 4,000 euros they'd all paid for the trip and the promise of a job upon arrival. There was 10 for lodging, 20 each for grub, and 30 euros to bribe the Slovak policeman.
"We'll go the rest of the road ourselves,"
the group decided, especially since they had Serafim. Everyone in Larga knew that Serafim Botezatu had had a painful love affair with Italy for a long time. As a 10-year-old boy, he'd found a photo book called Views of Rome in the half-ruined library, and since then he was lost to the world. He'd tracked down a textbook somewhere in the regional center to teach himself Italian and read everything in any way connected with Italy, the country of his dreams. Back then, in the 80s, this wasn't smiled upon. But did anybody know in those days that in 20 years' time, tens of thousands of Moldovans would make their way to Italy to work? And that Serafim, whom everybody had laughed at, from the village shepherds to their helpers to the chairman of the collective farm, would become an authority in Larga? Serafim labored over Italian for 20 years. Made do with bread and water and waited for fate to deliver him to Rome. And here he was, a stone's throw away from the city of his dreams, all a tremble. He was even a bit sad it was happening so quickly.
20 years, mumbled Serafim wistfully. 20 whole years.
The villagers waited respectfully. The only one who knew Italian and the one they hung all their hopes on was Serafim, him and him alone. He was listening to the lapping of the water.
"This is a river. Rome's not far away. In Rome there's only one river and it's called the Tiber.
It stands to reason we're standing on the banks of the Tiber," he declared.
The people silently followed his conclusions, amazed at the broad span of his mind. Serafim, recalling with perfect lucidity how Rome looked in pictures in Echo of the Planet, a magazine he'd subscribed to back when there still was such a thing as USSR-wide subscriptions, led the people farther.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?